Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Icaria, and Trichinotus, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God.
I have rules for Christmas. One of the rules for Christmas, for me, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. That'll come later in the sermon. One of my rules for Christmas is Christmas music can't start before Thanksgiving. I know I have friends who love Christmas music, and they have set themselves a date. For them, it's October 1st. That's too early for me. For me, Christmas, because I got to have time to be grateful. I got to have time to celebrate Thanksgiving. So for me, Christmas music can't start before Thanksgiving. As soon as we carve into that turkey and consume some of that goodness, and as soon as we get the green bean casserole and all that, as soon as that's done, we can listen to Christmas music. The football games can be on and we can listen to Christmas music, but not before. And there has to be some particular artists. Bing Crosby has to be included in Christmas music. Burl Ives has to be included in Christmas. Nat King Cole has to be included in Christmas music. Thurl Ravenscroft. Do you know who that is? He sings the Grinch song. He's also, if you didn't know this, he's the original voice of Tony the Tiger. Thurl Ravenscroft has to be in my Christmas list. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some great newer artists. I'm not saying they can't be involved. I'm just saying I got to have some of the classics. I've got to have some. Pentatonix, if you know the a cappella group Pentatonix, oh my gosh, they have some great Christmas music. John Legend did a rewrite of Baby It's Cold Outside that is really good. There are some artists John Legend does sort of a pairing recording, like there's the Christmas song with Nat King Cole, but John Legend sings into it. It's really good. All that stuff is good. We were on the way here this morning, and of course it's after Thanksgiving, so I started listening to Christmas music, and a song came on by a more recent artist, Sam Smith, and he's singing, what was he singing? I have to look it up now. I have it right here, because it was sort of funny the way it came up. He was singing, "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas," and the way the end of the song goes is, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas," and then he's supposed to sing the word night. But the way the recording is, it sounds like he says, "Have yourself a merry little Christmas." Ah! He just doesn't enunciate the consonants. And it sounds funny because for some of us, that's how Christmas feels. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Ah! It's a little too close. My friends, today is December 5th. Do you know that it's 19 days until Christmas? Does that send you into a panic? If it does for you, it does for me too. And maybe that's because, I haven't done all my Christmas shopping. Maybe that's just because I'm not ready for the end of the year and I have work to do, whatever. But also, Maybe it means you're facing that circumstance where you're going to go home for Christmas, or you're going to host someone in your home for Christmas. And maybe there are some of those relationships that are difficult. Maybe you're going to, we all have those family members, right, that we don't always see eye to eye with. And maybe you're going to be with that person for Christmas. Maybe there's just a situation where your home, or the person who's coming into your home, maybe there's been some harm in that relationship. Maybe you're facing a Christmas that is difficult for any number of reasons. I want you to know that I'm traveling for Christmas. I'm going to my sister's place in Nebraska. She lives in Kearney, Nebraska. If you don't know where Kearney is, that's okay. Nobody else does either. All my love to my friends in Kearney, which is like six. I'm going, and the boys are going with me. Cam and Zach are going with me. But this is the third Christmas where my spouse and I are separated, and we're nearing the completion of a divorce process. And so when I look at Christmas, there are some real challenges involved in that. Last Christmas was the first Christmas where I went and I traveled somewhere and my kids weren't with me. And although there are differences when you face separation and divorce, my heart breaks because she's going to be experiencing that this year. Christmas without her kids. For any number of reasons, we might be looking at Christmas with great joy. We might be looking at Christmas at that way where it's a merry little Christmas. It's good that this congregation is partnered with the congregation in Pacific Beach, where we'll be celebrating a Blue Christmas service. Pastor Lori, who most of us know and love, will be leading the Blue Christmas service again. I've been told in no uncertain terms, leave it all to Pastor Lori. Let her do it because she does such a great job. Done. You should know that it's going to be, as always, it's going to be on December 21st. You should know that, as always, it's going to be at 7 p.m. You should know new this year that it's going to be at the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. In our agreement with them, they're going to host it one year, and we'll host it the next. And as far as I'm concerned, Pastor Lori gets to be in charge, all of them. If you struggle with loss, with relationships for Christmas, this is a service for you. If you're looking forward to Christmas with joy and celebration and looking forward to going to someone's home or welcoming someone into your home, that's great. I don't think necessarily those who experience fear around the home ideas of Christmas should overshadow those who are filled with joy in this season. But I do think that we should remember that there's always a sense of preparation. There's work to be done, and that's reflected in our scripture. It's reflected in the Old Testament reading, the Malachi text. If you don't know where Malachi is in your Bible, it's the last one. If you don't have an Apocrypha, it's the last one in your Old Testament. Malachi, interestingly enough, is a Hebrew word that means my messenger. Maybe it wasn't written by a person whose actual name was Malachi. Maybe it was written by someone who was a priest. It was written in the Second Temple period. It was written after the dedication of the Second Temple, probably the early 5th century B.C. or B.C.E., however you name that. And it was written by someone who was pretty disillusioned with the priesthood and the practices of faith. And it's in that context that there is this mixed message, one of both hope, but also something different. I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant of the Lord whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And that sounds great. But then the very next verse, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He'll sit like a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. See, there's opportunity for hope, but there's work to be done. There's preparation. You got to get the Advent candles out. You got to get your Christmas creche out. You got to put up your Christmas tree and put the ornaments on it. We don't have ours yet, but it's going over here. There's work to be done. And you might be a person who likes to buy gifts for Christmas. I was here. Listen, this yesterday was the first time I had an opportunity to see our Christmas workshop. It's amazing. It's remarkable. My thanks, by the way, yes. My thanks to Gail and to the Andersons for all their incredible leadership. We had a ton of volunteers. There were, 70 kids around all making Christmas crafts. And there is one child who came up to me. And he said, I have a question for you. See, he had been at the station that was making these little first aid kits. Did you make some of those? Did you make one of those? Good. Well, the question he came to me with is, I like that I made this first aid kit that I get to give to somebody, but how does that connect with Christmas? What a good question. If we celebrate Christmas as a recognition of God with us, that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. If we celebrate Christmas as a recognition of the incarnation of Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, if we celebrate Christmas with that in mind, can't we see that as an expression of God's care for us? And can't we see giving a first aid kit as an expression of care for someone? Do you like it? Christmas can be challenging and fear-filled. And Christmas is an opportunity not only to look forward with hope, but to recognize that preparation is necessary. This is echoed in the Luke text as well. In the Luke text, we read quite a bit about the timing. 15th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius and Pontius Pilate's governor, and there's people, other rulers like Philip, and then there's Annas and Caiaphas, and I gave Chelsea all the big words to read this morning, but there's all this stuff that, and it leads us, doesn't it, into our own time frames, because this is the thing that's happening in the scripture, but also I have to remember to get to this particular store before the sale is out, because I got to get this present that's perfect for this person, and I put so much thought into it, but I got to do that while I'm trying to remember. Remember the right kind of lights, because I had a string of lights go out on my house, and I have to remember that I have to get that special ornament, because every year we do this ornament thing, and so I got to get that thing, and I also have, do you see how our lists pile up on us? And it's good to be organized, and it's good to remember to prepare. Prepare, remembering the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough will be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know, around the church, we've been doing all kinds of things. There was so much preparation for the Christmas workshop. We've got the UMW luncheon coming up, and there's all sorts of preparation coming for that. We've got Joan Christensen's service coming up, and there's all kinds of preparation for that. We've had incredible, I would say, worship artists. I don't know if that's a real word, but I'm using it. Folks who set up our Advent candles and this Christmas creche and the banners on the back, and we'll have a Christmas tree and other decorations that are coming. We're preparing. Pastor Derek and I are working on our Christmas Eve worship services. If I haven't already told you, we're going to have Christmas Eve worship at 5 p.m., trying to tell the stories involving children and families, and then the 7 p.m. Traditional candlelight service. So 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., and I hope that you'll come, and I hope that you'll invite someone, and I hope that we fill this space to celebrate Christmas. Because there's a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So we have to think, as a congregation, as a people, who are frankly facing a decline of mainline denominations around the country, we have to figure out what we're going to do and how we have to change and what has to change. Does that mean we have to stop doing all the things we're doing? No, but it also means I think that we have to do new things. What are those things? A really, really smart member of this congregation asked me that probably in my first couple of months here. How do we have to change? What do we have to do? How can we be empowered to do that? A really smart member of our congregation said in one of our stewardship videos, I think that we're on the cusp of something. And that person's spouse said, I think that we just have to be brave enough. Are we brave enough to make the path straight, to fill in the valleys, to make the mountains and hills low, to make the crooked straight and the rough ways smooth? And what does that look like? What are the barriers to people coming into church? How does church feel like it's a high-risk entry? And how can we remove those barriers? You've heard me tell the story before about the guy in church whose cell phone rang because he forgot to turn off the ringer, and the pastor and some of the members and even his spouse gave him a dirty look. After church, he said, I'm never going back there again. How can we make the barriers lower? How can we be inviting rather than exclusive? Because I tell you, what I see in this church community, we're going to be talking about it at our charge conference this afternoon. If you don't remember, our charge conference is today at noon. It's going to be online by Zoom. All LJUMC members are invited to participate and to vote. If you're not an LJUMC member, you're welcome to participate. I'm sorry that you won't have an opportunity to vote, but I'd be happy to talk to you about membership. And we'll be talking about how this place is an incredible church family. We've been talking just a few weeks ago. We were talking about the kingdom of God, how we are all kin, we are all connected, we are all family together. This is a remarkable faith community. We are community because we are connected. So how can we be inclusive rather than exclusive? How can we be connected and care for and support one another? How can we bring the mountains and the hills down as barriers to entry into this faith community? Because if we tell people you don't worship the right way, then that's a barrier. If you tell people that you don't dress the right way for this church, then that's a barrier. If we tell people that you're not the right socioeconomic status, then that's a barrier. But that connects to the valleys that must be filled in. How can we reach out into the community and support those who need to be lifted up? And sometimes that's an emotional valley, right? Sometimes that's a person who's experienced loss and grief, as some of we are at the loss of Joan Christensen. Sometimes that's filling in those valleys of those for whom Christmas is a hard time, and maybe that's making sure that they know about our Blue Christmas service on December 21st over at the PB Church. But there are lots of ways that people can feel like they're at their depth, at their absolute bottom, and how can we fill in those valleys to lift up those persons? How can we make the rough ways smooth and the crooked straight? I suggest, friends, that there are plenty of us for this work and that we can be effective in this work. And what is the purpose? As Simon Sinek might ask, what is our reason? What is our why? So that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So that all flesh shall see that they are loved and that they are called into relationship and community. So that all flesh might understand that there is a beautiful and loving Creator who reaches out to us, who calls us, who inspires us, who strengthens us, and who invites us not only into community to be nourished, but also to serve one another. So that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It is for this, my friends, that I hope. It is for this, my friends, that I feel this sense, this compelling sense to do the work that is before us, to prepare the way of the Lord, where the mountains and hills will be brought low, where the valleys will be filled, where the rough places will be made smooth, the crooked made straight. Because, my friends, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen.
Now we enter into a time of response to the word. So normally we would invite all of you here to come up with a tangible way that you can respond to today's message. So based on Pastor Bob's message today, How can we bring hope or some ways that we can help fill the valleys for the people and the community around us who are going through different situations? How can we do that? So think of one way this week, of whatever someone is going through in their life that they're suffering with. Be that friend. Be that person who encourages, who show them God's love, because that is important. Because sometimes the smallest things have the greatest ripple effects. So that is my invitation for all of us here today. Thank you.